you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. My topic for this evening is what the Indians taught me. I've been asked sometimes, what did you learn from the Indians, or what did you teach the Indians? And some people have even asked me, did I teach very many of them to speak English? Well, of course, I never made the slightest attempt to teach any Indian to speak English. It wouldn't do him any good in a place called Ecuador. But I did make some attempt to teach them some things, of course, to teach them the Bible, the gospel, and I taught people to read and taught a few girls to sew and some things like that. But the Indians taught me so much more than what I taught them. And I feel very greatly blessed and indebted to those Indians for the lessons that they taught me. And you'll see that these things had a very different meaning in their context, but they are principles which are applicable in our lives, I believe. The first was endurance. Endurance, I think, was one of the first things that caught my attention about jungle Indians. And I read a very interesting book by an Italian woman who had gone into Venezuela and was working with a group of Italian, I believe, photographers and people who were prospecting for gold and oil and I don't know what all. And on one occasion, she was up on a rock looking down on the river where the Indians, who were their guides, and the Italian men were desperately struggling with a very, very heavy dugout canoe. And as she was observing the process of portaging this canoe over some rapids, she was fascinated to note how differently the Italians, and I believe there were some Americans in with the group as well, the difference between the foreigners and the Indians in their management of this hard task. The so-called civilized people, the Italians and the Americans, were grunting and sweating and complaining and swearing, and the Indians were just utterly happy and just doing the job without the slightest problem. It wasn't any big deal to them. And so she began to study what it is through several years of living with the Indian tribes in Venezuela. And this, of course, fascinated me because I had lived with three different tribes in Ecuador over a period of 11 years and had noticed exactly the same thing, that Americans make a federal case out of everything. Everything's got to be fun and it's got to be comfortable. And if it is neither one, then we sweat and we strain and we stew and we wipe our brows and we say, whew. And, you know, I never heard an Indian say, whew, in my whole life. I mean, there isn't any Indian word for that. Endurance is a word that is seldom preached on today, at least in my experience. And I made quite a long list of the word as it occurs in various translations. I won't read you the whole list, but the Bible does talk a lot about endurance. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:7, if we ourselves have been comforted, we know how to encourage you to endure. 2 Corinthians 6, genuine ministers of God, whatever we may have to go through, patient endurance of troubles or even disasters, being flogged, and he goes on to list some other problems. 1 Thessalonians 1, the hope that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ means sheer, dogged endurance. Well, that's a sampler. I have actually two pages of references where the word endurance occurs. It doesn't always occur in the King James Version. Other words are used. But the principle is still there. Many's the time I've been on a trail with Indians over a period of hours and sometimes days, And on one occasion, I was with two women. One had a baby on her back. No, she had a baby in a sling on her side, and she had a heavy basket of food on her back, and she had a machete in her hand. And the other woman was carrying, I think, an even heavier basket on her back, also had a machete in her hand. And the third person of the party happened to be a man, and he was carrying his blowgun, period. Well, these were Alka Indians, and their view was that women are much stronger than men when it comes to bearing burdens. And the men were very frank in admitting they couldn't carry the loads that the women carried. And I think it was probably true, because they really hadn't practiced it very much. When the men went hunting, if they took along their blowguns, which was what they usually took, they took just the blowgun, and then they had a little quiver hanging on their back with the poison-tipped darts in the quiver. And if they got birds and monkeys, they would carry them home. But if they got a bigger animal, and they had to have a spear with them to get a bigger animal, they would leave the animal and come back home as fast as they could come, and that might have meant 3 or 4 hours through the jungle, and they would send their wives out to find that animal. Now, how in the world they ever found them, I never could understand. And of course, the idea was for them to run so that they got there before the jaguars ate the animal, whatever it was. But then they had to carry the meat back. And I've seen these women come back with the wild pig or the tapir. If it was a tapir, then it had to be cut up in pieces that would be carried by 4 or 5 women. But I've seen them come back over the trail, literally mud from head to toe, this band right across their forehead, which supported the weight of the basket on the back. And they had, my estimate was, they were carrying as much as 50 to 70 pounds. And I know that when I carried 15 pounds on my back for a whole day, that was a very heavy load. And you know, those women would just quietly stoop down, slip this tump line from their forehead with their heads back so that they could release the basket on their back. And immediately they would set to work stirring up the fire and cooking the meat. Not a word about, what a trip, what a day, you know, look at you guys sitting here waiting for us. Nary a word like that, nary a word of complaint. Sheer, dogged endurance. And on this particular day that I was working with the three on the trail, we had walked maybe 3 hours or so, and then it was time to take what they called a break, which consisted of drinking a little chicha. Chicha is a milky, rather slightly sour, stringy, lukewarm, lumpy drink, which is made in the following fashion. They steam manioc, which is a starchy tuber shaped about like a carrot, but about that long. Brown skin on the outside, white on the inside. It's cultivated by the women, and it's very good. It is a staple food of all Amazon Indians. And they would steam this, then they would put it out into a huge wooden tray on the ground, and the women would sit around this tray and pound it with a mortar, with a pestle rather, until it was pretty much like mashed potatoes, except that it was lumpy and stringy. It was impossible to get it very smooth. Then they would spend a couple of hours chewing and spitting it back into the tray. And when they had chewed and spat perhaps a third of what was in there, then they would squish it around with their hands and pick up maybe 3 pounds and wrap it in banana leaves and tie it up with a vine. And then it would be set aside for about 3 days and it would be slightly fermented. I presume it was sort of a mild form of beer. But that's what chicha was. And so it was time to take a chicha break. And as we sat down beside the trail, the two women took these baskets off their backs, and the man with his blowgun sat down waiting to be served his chicha. And so I just said to him, or I said to Mancamo, the woman, I said, Mancamo, why don't you let Monga carry the basket now? And she looked at Monga and she said, Monga, carry the basket? He's a man. He couldn't carry that. And he agreed heartily. Well, it's different cultures, different ideas. Alfred the Great is quoted as having said, if thou hast a fearful thought, share it not with a weakling, whisper it to thy saddle bow, and ride forth singing. I love that. And Amy Carmichael loved it, and that's where I got it. I found it in one of her books. There's so many things in life that call for simple endurance. Not complaining, not self-pity, but just endurance. And if any of you, those of you that have read Amy Carmichael's biography called A Chance to Die, she tells very early in the book how on one occasion she had a very bad pain when she was a little child, and her mother gave her the standard pink powder that they used for remedies. And after an hour or so, she came back to her mother and she said, but mother, the pain is still there. And her mother said, well, I'm sorry, dear. And she said, but mother, it is a very bad pain. It is a terrible pain. And her mother said, I'm afraid you must bear it patiently. Teaching a very small child to endure. And I'm sure my daughter must have quoted that, because I was at the dinner table one time with the grandchildren, and the child who was in the high chair was less than 2 years old. And in the middle of the meal, I noticed that she had a Band-Aid on her leg or something, but in the middle of the meal, she spoke up and said, Mama, am I bearing this patiently? So I knew she didn't make that up. It must have come. How often our immediate reaction to any kind of difficulty is to call up somebody and pour out our troubles to them. Get on the phone, feel sorry for yourself, and tell them how awful everything is. Well, how about whispering it to your saddle bow and ride forth singing instead of sharing it with a weakling who very likely has enough troubles of her own?
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.